This is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance, a 99-yard touchdown play.
The Sun Life Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Welcome in on this Thanksgiving to the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. And this one was a laugher pretty much from Jump Street. The Jets hung with the Patriots for a quarter, let's call it. And from that point on, Fireman Ed and all his brethren down there at MetLife Stadium were left wondering what the hell happened to their team. Patriots ran them off the field tonight, 49-19. Felt worse, to be honest. Felt like more than a 30-point game. Felt like much more than that, mainly because of the Patriots' just absurd turn of events in the second quarter, all of which we'll get to here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show as New England improves to 8-3. And I'll tell you, coupled with what happened in Detroit earlier today with the Texans nearly falling in overtime, this could have been an epically good day for the Patriots. However, the Texans held on. New England stands in a relatively similar spot in terms of the AFC playoff seeding. How do today's events make you feel about the Patriots in terms of grabbing a top spot in the AFC? How did Houston's loss impact the Patriots today, or how would have a Houston loss impacted the Patriots today? We'll get into that throughout the course of the program here. You can also get in touch, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. You will hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick coming up here in a little less than a half an hour. We'll get his thoughts, hopefully, on losing another potential impact player for this team. Last week it was Rob Gronkowski late in a blowout on special teams. This week it was Julian Edelman on a reverse, which we'll get to. You'll hear from the coach coming up here in a little less than a half an hour. Also the quarterback Tom Brady from the podium, and hopefully we get someone out of that victorious Patriots locker room as they down the Jets by 30, 49-19. Well, let's kick off the Sun Life Patriots postgame show as we always do with the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
All right, kicking off the good list has to be that second quarter for the Patriots, and I understand that's sort of a broad topic and a broad thing to be on your good list, but if you were watching the game, you know what I'm talking about. It's a 0-0 football game, right? And the Patriots, I thought, didn't dominate early per se, but they did miss a field goal early on. And, you know, it seemed like they were at least carrying the game early on. And they get a Wes Welker touchdown from 3 yards out. Brady finds him just wide open in the back of the end zone. And on the ensuing drive for the New York Jets, trailing 7-0, they go for it on fourth down, which I didn't hate at all. You know, you can quibble with the play call or the player they used in Sean Green, but just a laughable fumble where Sean Green runs into the pile on 4th and 2, 4th and 1, whatever it was, gets stacked up, and the ball shoots forward like 10 yards, recovered by Steve Gregory, who we'll get to here in a moment. The very next play, the Patriots. Quick pass into the flat to Shane Vereen, and it's not like he had to make anyone miss. There was no one down the entire left sideline for Vereen. He booked it to the end zone 83 yards on a little play into the flat, and the Patriots led it 14-0. A few plays later, after the kickoff, the Jets have the football. Mark Sanchez decides to try and run. Runs smack into the backside of his offensive lineman, drops the football, and it's picked up by Steve Gregory, who returns it all the way to the end zone from 32 yards out. On the ensuing kickoff, in a 21-0 game, Devin McCourty smacks Joe McKnight. Ball pops loose. Julian Edelman falls on top of it, or I shouldn't say falls on top of it, picks it up, runs with it, and goes 22 yards to the house. Patriots make it 28-0 like that. That is how the game turned. They would also add another touchdown as Tom Brady found Julian Edelman for a 56-yard TD. One of three touchdown passes on the night for Brady. He'd had another on the ground as the Patriots built up a 35-0 lead in that second quarter. So that's tops on our good list tonight. Also on there, a few players we just mentioned, and they were big parts of the second quarter. Steve Gregory, who had an interception, which set up the Patriots' first touchdown.
And is eating turkey right behind you.
Yeah,
right
I saw
now.
This. They're out on Sunday Night Football. It's Gregory, Brady, and I believe Wilfork is the other player they have up there right now with Michelle Tafoya. Oh, yeah, it's Wilfork. He is housing a turkey leg right now, along with Gregory and Tom Brady. But Gregory, I thought, had a nice play on an interception. You know, last week I was a little critical of the Tlaib pick in that it was thrown right to him. This was a nice play by Gregory. Stepped in front of it. The ball might have been a little high, but I thought it was a nice play on the interception by Steve Gregory. He also recovered a couple of fumbles, knocked another ball out, which wound up being recovered by the Jets. I thought he was active, and I've been very critical of Gregory all season. I thought tonight he showed up in a number of good ways, obviously highlighted by his interception and one of those fumble recoveries, which was brought back 32 yards for a score. So he was also on my good list, as was Shane Vereen, not just because of the 83-yard touchdown, though that was the highlight of the night, and it underscores some of the explosiveness that Patriots fans and the Patriots themselves expected out of Vereen when they took him ahead of Stephen Ridley in the second round a year ago. 83-yard touchdown. No one down that entire left sideline. He had two catches for 91 yards and a score. Also, ran it pretty well on the ground. 10 carries for 42 yards, just over 4 yards a pop. I thought he looked pretty good throughout the course of this one. And you can see the explosion was there all night from Shane Vereen. That's what the Patriots want to see more of. And I think he has been flashing a bit in the past few weeks. So this really, for Vereen, is as much about how he showed up the last few weeks as to how he showed up tonight. On the bad list, and look, I understand all of this is going to be nitpicky in a 49-19 game. By the way, I meant to mention this off the top. Patriots are coming off a 59-point victory, or scoring 59 against the Colts last time out. They've put up 108 points in their last two victories over the Colts and the Jets. But it's going to be nitpicky when you score this many points, right? Ridley was on my bad list, not because of how he ran the football, although I thought when the game was still in doubt, which wasn't for very long, they didn't run it very well. He finished with 97 yards on the ground and a garbage time touchdown. But the reason he's on my bad list is because of the chop block in the end zone when the Patriots were backed up. It gave the Jets a safety, which at the time I believe made it 35-5. So, you know, you show up on my bad list when you make a stupid penalty in the end zone and give the Jets points or give the opposing team points. So Ridley was on my bad list for that. Steven Gostkowski also on my bad list tonight. Second game in a row he missed a field goal. And both of them wound up not coming back to bite the Patriots, obviously, but they were both early on in the game. And, you know, Gostkowski's last week against Indianapolis, I believe, could have cut the Colts' lead at one point to like 14-10 or whatever it would have been. And remember, the Patriots wound up blowing that game out. Same thing here. Patriots could have jumped out to an early 3-0 lead on their second drive, and they didn't because Gostkowski hooked it from 39 yards out. We're not talking a 50-yard field goal or even a 45-yard field goal. 39. Less than 40 yards out. So Gostkowski started the year shaky. Then he settled in. Now the last 2 weeks he's missed a couple of kicks. Is there something to look at there? He was on my bad list, as were the Patriots and their discipline from a penalty standpoint. Not a ton of yards, but a ton of flags thrown on the Patriots in this one. 8 penalties for just 36 yards. And I already mentioned the Ridley one, which cost him a couple of points. There was a play early on in the game. First play of the game, by the way. And it's really not on Brady. It's sort of on the offensive line, and in this case, Donald Thomas. But intentional grounding right from Jump Street sort of set the tone for the night in terms of the Patriots and their sloppiness in regards to penalties and a 49-19 win over the Jets. Yes, that's my nitpick. And I'll tell you what, the only significant injury that I caught wind of, I know Ninkovich left the game early and came back in, was Julian Edelman, head injury when he was totally popped by Laron Landry. And I caught some flack for saying this on Twitter, but I feel this way. It was a reverse play in an absolute blowout game. It was 35-3. This is the Patriots' first drive of the second half. So after they had already stopped the Jets, who went 3-and-out on their opening drive. Went 3-and-out on their opening drive, yes, and then turned it over on downs, way down at the Patriots' goal line. That's how the Jets started the second half, pathetically. But after they go 3-and-out, in a 35-3 game, the Patriots are running trick plays and gadget plays. And Edelman gets lined up by Laron Landry. Now, I'm not condoning, you know, head injuries, as has been pointed out to me by a number of people on Twitter. I'm not condoning that, but I'm not going to condone the Patriots running gadget plays in almost a 5-touchdown game. You know, at that point, if you want to run plays like that, and this is how I feel about it, if you want to run plays like that, then you deserve what's coming to you. Same thing with Brady. I don't care that the Patriots, quote unquote, run up the score on people. That never bothers me. Never. If the Jets in this case can't stop you, or the Colts last week can't stop you, then by all means, do whatever you'd like to do. But if you leave Brady in the game at the end like the Patriots did, then guess what? You deserve what's coming to you. If a player rolls up on his leg, you deserve it. Brady shouldn't be in the game at that point. Not from a competitive standpoint, but just from a being smart and protecting your players standpoint. And that's sort of how I felt about the Gronkowski thing over the course of the week. It's like, why is he on a specific special teams unit in the first place, right? When he is arguably, and in my view, your best offensive playmaker. You know, why are you running gadget plays with Julian Edelman? And we all hope he's well, and he leaves the game with a head injury. I wouldn't be surprised if he misses. And I guess the Patriots have a few extra days, but I wouldn't be surprised if he missed the next game.
Well, the thing is with that play, it was a gadget play and a blowout. It's also a play that got them a 45-yard run last week.
I mean, true, but I don't know.
In a blowout.
Yeah, I don't. But how valuable were those 45 yards? You know, like, I guess that's what I would say. Like, yeah, I got them 45 yards, but did it win them the game or anything like that? No. What's the upside other than to run up the score? You know, I can't remember where I saw this. I think it was Mike Reese writing about the NFL Films thing with Belichick this week. He was mic'd up, and apparently Josh McDaniels pulled Edelman aside and was like, oh, yeah, you know, no one's ever scored a special teams touchdown, a touchdown receiving, and a touchdown running in the same game. And Edelman, like, wanted to do it. So is that why the Patriots are doing this garbage? Well, guess what? You just got him hurt because you're trying to get him a running touchdown in this game. So all I'm saying, we all hope Edelman's well. And I'm not defending head injuries or anything like that, or condoning head injuries or anything of that nature. But if you want to run gadget plays in almost a 5-touchdown game, then whether you believe in karma or whether it's just the other team is that fired up, they're just not going to take it, that they put a hurtin' on Julian Edelman, then you deserve what's coming. So if I were Julian Edelman, you know, I would rethink some of this. If I were other players out on the field when you're running gadget plays, maybe the Patriots won't do it anymore. At least that's the hope. If you start having guys dropping like flies, you know, I don't think that's what these guys are signing up for. So to me, yeah, I had an issue, you know, not with leaving your guys in at the end of the game, but when they get hurt, that's sort of the bed you made, and now you get a lie in it. And I sort of felt that way with the Edelman injury. So it's the second week in a row, by the way, the Patriots lose someone who should be a significant player in their offense, a significant contributor in their offense. Last week it was Gronkowski, and not to equate Julian Edelman to Gronkowski, but he's been pretty good these last couple of weeks. And this is after you cut Deion Branch. I wouldn't be surprised if he's back here in, you know, by Monday or whatever it is. I wouldn't be surprised if he's back. So, I don't know, that's sort of how I felt about that Edelman injury, and this sort of crystallizes the issue with not running up the score. I don't have a problem with it. You know, if the Jets can't stop you, then you can continue to run it right down their throats. That's fine. But a gadget play and a trick play, you're trying to show them up. You're trying to show them up. And you sort of get what's coming to you in that scenario, or in that case, with Julian Edelman, and unfortunately he gets knocked out of the game. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. Adam Jones with you here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Let Sun Life Financial help protect your financial security, whether you're in the game or sidelined with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit. Get to know Sun Life. Want to get into some of your feedback following this Patriots 49-19 victory over the New York Jets. We'll hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick coming up here right around midnight Eastern time, and Patriots quarterback Tom Brady somewhere around 12:30 Eastern time on this Thanksgiving. Want to hear from you until that point. Let's kick things off with Joel down in Atlanta. What'd you think of that 30-point victory over the Jets tonight, Joel?
Oh, it was great, Adam. And I just want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
I appreciate that, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Well, I appreciate that, and I called last week, and well, actually, on Sunday, and I told you that it just seems like the Patriots just turned it on. They're just more aggressive, and I like it. I like the hard hitting. Yes, you know, people are going to get hurt in football, but I like it. I mean, we have not seen our defense play like this for a long time, and I can actually say I'm enjoying watching our defense play.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Until they get out there.
I'll tell you what, Joel, and I don't want to jump in here, but, you know, when you saw a couple of those fumbles in the third quarter, you know, uh-huh. The one that Sean Green had when he was stuffed on fourth down, the Patriots didn't really, quote-unquote, force that. Same thing with the Mark Sanchez one. He ran into his own offensive lineman. But the McCourty one, you're right. You know, he knocked the block off Joe McKnight, and Julian Edelman took it to the house. And you know what other play I liked sort of in that stretch, although it was a little further after it, is when Mayo got the sack right before halftime. It's like they brought him right up the gut, and the Jets had zero answer for it. Zero.
Right. And it just reminds me of what the Patriots defense used to do back when we had Ty Law, Loya Malloy, Willie Clay, Chris Slade, Willie McGinnis. That's what the Patriots defense should play like on a weekly basis. And, you know, it was a wonderful game. I do have one comment, and I agree with Belichick as far as with what happened to Gronk, you know, as far as with, of course, Belichick's going to be Belichick, and everybody knows that. Even when Loya Malloy was playing, he was playing in kickoffs. Rodney Harrison was playing in kickoff punt return. I don't think he looks at, well, because you're this particular player, you should not play that particular down. He's going to put you in if you know how to, if you're the best person on the team to tackle, he's going to put you in. During that situation.
Yeah, and look, and Joel, I think that's fair. And again, have a happy Thanksgiving. We appreciate the phone call, 508-298-0398. That's fine. And look, if you feel that way on the Gronkowski thing, I think a lot of people have had a week to come to peace with that one and talk yourself into it if you have to, and whatever. At the end of the day, we expect Gronkowski to be back probably before the end of the regular season. 4 to 6 weeks should put him back at the tail end of December, beginning of January, so you should have Gronkowski back for when games matter. Assuming that these injury projections are right, and that's dicey, but assuming they're on the money, you should get him back for the end of the regular season. As the Patriots showed, maybe they'll miss him against the Texans or the Niners. They ain't going to miss him against the Jets, the Colts, the Dolphins times two. You know, you're not going to miss him for these kind of games. So, whatever. So you've talked yourself into that one, and you've made peace with that one. The Edelman thing, to me, again, I just don't see the upside to running a play like that in a blowout. You know, I don't see the upside to running a gadget trick play, a reverse. Why? And, again, I think that's sort of what the Jets are sitting there saying. Oh, you want to run up the score on us. That's how I would take it if I were playing in that game. You're running wide receiver reverses on us in a five-touchdown game or nearly a five-touchdown game, then, yeah, we're going to unload on your guy. And Edelman was squared up. There wasn't even a flag on the play. Edelman saw the hit coming. You know, it wasn't like he was defenseless or had his back to the line of scrimmage or anything of that nature. So that's just sort of how I feel about it. You don't have to call that kind of play. Maybe that's not on Belichick. That might be on McDaniels. Who knows? But that, to me, that play, I don't know that it needed to be called there. And you lost a guy in the game potentially because of it. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Taking your thoughts on how this game impacts the Patriots in terms of their playoff standing and also really today's events, I guess would be the better way of putting it, on a Thanksgiving. How did today's events, Houston hanging on for a win in Detroit and the Patriots blowing out the Jets, how does it change? How does it impact the Patriots' hopes for getting a bye week, getting that top playoff spot in the AFC? Something you can call and weigh in on. Let's go back to the phones. Our buddy Melvin's in Tennessee. What's going on, Melvin? What'd you think of that game?
Hey, I thought it was fantastic. I couldn't be more proud of the football team. I thought they played well offensively and defensively. Got to, you know, just a fast start. Other than Brady seeming rushing his throws a little bit. It seemed like it took him a second just to calm down. But other than that, you know, defense, it's fine, better tackling, better everything. I wanted to to call out two players that I thought that might go under the radar other than, you know, Gregory and everybody else with, you know, Edelman, stuff like that. But I thought Marcus Cannon did a fantastic job coming in and taking over that role. And Kyle Arrington. I was ready to cut ties with Arrington. You know, these last couple of weeks, I just thought his production this year has been not good. But he came in and made a strong performance tonight. And it was fantastic. And as far as the bigger playoff picture goes, you know, I think Denver doesn't have too many hard games to go. But I do know they have to face the Ravens coming up, maybe in a couple of weeks. And just the highly I wish the Texans would have lost, because that would have made the even the game between the Patriots and Texans even, you know.
Oh, it would have been for the top spot, arguably, in the AFC. And Melvin, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. He's absolutely right. If the Texans lose that game today, all the Patriots have to do is beat them head-to-head and not drop another game along the way, be it to the Niners, be it to whomever. It doesn't look like the Patriots are losing to any other teams besides the Niners and the Texans, and maybe not even those two teams at that. But, you know, if you win out from here on out for the Patriots and the Texans lost today, or if the Texans lose another game, then yeah, you have the head-to-head tiebreaker with them. All you got to do is match them in record. So Melvin's right. He's also right on Kyle Arrington. Now, I think Arrington has had a brutal season, but today he showed up a couple of times, made a nice play in the end zone. I want to say he forced a fumble at some point in the second half, though I was really, got to be honest, not paying my usual close attention to this game as the second half wore on and on. But Arrington did seem to get in there a few different times. I know he had the breakup in the end zone. I thought he played better tonight. Again, consider who they're going against, Mark Sanchez in this case, who looked flat all night. Let's continue with the phone calls, 508-298-0398. Let's go to Alex in Connecticut. What'd you think of the events today and how it impacted the Patriots, Alex?
Hey, Adam, what's up? Happy Thanksgiving. And I just want to comment on a couple of things. My thing is the whole healthy issue. I mean, I think it just refers back to one of them things, you know, in Belichick we trust. So until we're 4-7 at the podium like Rick Stein is right now, getting blown up by 35 points in a quarter, explaining why you should keep your job, I'll just stick with what he does best. And, like, referring back to what you said earlier about the schedule going on, I really don't feel like the Texans defense is what everybody blows it to be, because to see what Blaine Gabbert can do to them, to see what happened today. I mean, the Lions' offense is pretty good offense, probably a B-plus offense. But I think our best hope is to see Andrew Luck win out one of them two games against that defense. And in my personal opinion, if the Jaguars can put up 37 on defense, I think we're going to win that game.
Well, and Alex, it's a pretty good point, and you can jump back in here in a moment. The Houston Texans' defense looked pretty mortal the last couple of weeks, right? And this we thought was a manhandling defense from, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks ago when they completely shut down the Bears? And then they come back with a dud performance against Jacksonville, barely win in overtime, and then the same thing on the road today against the Lions. I understand the spot they were in this week. At least it's on a short week. They played an overtime game last week. Maybe they were gassed, but still, you don't expect that defense to look like that compared to the way it looked earlier this season. You're right, Alex.
Yeah, Adam, that's all I really wanted to comment on. I just want to tell you guys, have a good Thanksgiving.
Perfect. Well, you too, man. We appreciate the phone call. 508-298-0398. Thanks for calling in here late on a Thanksgiving. Look, I understand where Patriots fans are coming from in the whole Julian Edelman thing. You know, I understand that, you know, you don't want to be completely vanilla at the end of some of these games. And you want to, I don't know, keep throwing the football down the field. Or you want to not take your foot off the jugular of the other team. I don't have a problem with that. And the Patriots can do whatever they want. I just said this. You can play Brady the whole game if you want. But the issue is, if Brady got rolled up on at the end of the fourth quarter in a 49-19 game, which he was playing in, or 42-19, or even worse, actually, it was before the Jets got that last touchdown, like, then you just sort of deserve it. That's all. And you just have to deal with the consequences of what's coming your way. And, yeah, I thought Leron Landry's hit, though Edelman should have been able to see it coming, because he wasn't defenseless and he had turned his head around. Landry smacked him, and maybe Landry will get a fine for it. And, you know, ultimately there's an issue there from Landry's standpoint, but if you're not running gadget plays, trick plays, reverses at the beginning of the second half of a blowout, maybe the Jets wouldn't have reacted that way. And maybe Laron Landry wouldn't feel like he needed to lower the boom on somebody. You know, so for me, that has a lot to do with it. Maybe Landry would have hit him like that if it was the first 5 seconds of a game. I don't know. But I look at it a little differently when it's a blowout and the Patriots aren't running, you know, an off-tackle play. You know, they're not running student body right. They're running fake handoffs one way and wide receiver reverses the other. And guess what? Edelman got popped. All I'm saying is if you want to play that way, then you have to live with the consequences. And Belichick and McDaniels are going to need to deal with questions. I don't know who called the play, but they're going to need to deal with questions. Just like they had to deal with Gronkowski questions all last week, and I think this one's more egregious, to be honest. You know, the Gronkowski thing, my only issue with that is why is he on the unit in the first place? And if you want to tell me he's the best blocker, well, then fine. Then you get away Gronkowski being the best blocker against maybe getting a kick or an extra point blocked at some point. And that I understand. What's the upside to running reverse there? What is the upside besides trying to show up the Jets? If somebody can answer me that question, great. I'd love to hear it. 508-298-0398. Let's go to Bill in Bridgeport, Connecticut. What'd you think about that game tonight, Bill?
Oh, love the game, love the result. And I'm convinced of three things. One, the Jets don't have any confidence in Sanchez running the ball down 37 points in the fourth quarter.
Nope.
And two, I kind of think Bill is right. I mean, football players play football, you know? And what I saw this game is their coaching is phenomenal. Because people do step up and fill the void if somebody goes down. So that's why they have that attitude that people's going to play.
Yeah, and Bill, I'm sorry, I got to jump in here. We're going to leave you on hold, and we appreciate the phone call. If you want to hang out, 508-298-0398. I promise we'll get right back to Bill in Bridgeport. We have a member, though, of the victorious New England Patriots, 49-19 tonight. Their win over the New York Jets helps them move to 8-3 on the season. We welcome in Shane Vereen to the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. What's going on, Shane? Happy Thanksgiving, and thanks so much for taking the time.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for having me.
Now, we highlighted your touchdown earlier in this one, Shane, where Brady was able to dump it off to you in that left flat. Why don't you kind of take us through that play?
Honestly, it was a good play call, you know, and I just ran the route that was called, and I just happened to be open, and, you know, Brady does a good job of finding open receivers.
Yeah, I would say you were pretty open on that play. what did you see when you turned around and kind of got a chance to size up the Jets' defense?
Well, when I turned to catch the ball, I just, you know, saw that there was really nobody in front of me, and I just tried to run as fast as I could and get as many yards as possible.
Talking to Shane Vereen, Patriots running back here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. An 83-yard touchdown in that game today against the New York Jets. Shane, you were a part of this one. What was it like to be on the field or even on the sidelines while you guys were racking up 35 straight points in the second quarter?
It was electric, you know, for our sidelines. It really kept momentum on our side. And we were able to, you know, to make play after play, and it really helped us with a victory tonight.
How was it for you playing on Thanksgiving?
Awesome. I mean, you always watch Thanksgiving football growing up, and to be able to be in that spotlight and be able to come out as a team and have a good team win is incredible.
What was the message from Coach Belichick after this win tonight?
He said, you know, good win. We did some things well, things we still need to work on, and we'll get back to it next week.
Be honest, how closely were you watching that Texans game earlier today?
Oh, that was a good game. I was kind of watching it because had a couple of teammates on both teams, so it was an interesting game.
Yeah, and that's one we've heard from a lot of Patriots fans today. They were hoping the Lions could pull that one out for your guys' sake in the AFC. But again, a 49-19 win in New York over the Jets. Shane Vereen was a big part of it. Shane, thanks so much for taking the time, and have a great night, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks for having me. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, Shane Vereen joining us here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. He said Brady finds open receivers. You're not going to get much more open than Vereen was in that flat. And again, you saw the explosion. You know, you saw what he can do when he has the football in space. But my goodness, there were no Jets for miles. Let's just go back to Bill in Bridgeport quickly. Bill, just continue with your point. Sorry to jump in there.
No, I mean, it was just the point that the coaches coach up these players to be able to fill in should somebody go down. So I'm 100% confident in what they're doing as far as, I mean, this game kind of actually proves it that, you know, you know, players get hurt. I mean, this is a brutal sport, and they play knowing that there's a possibility that, you know, they can get injured. And it's, shoot, the worst-case scenario now is Gronk comes back 100% ready for the playoffs with a game or two left in the season. You know, and as far as Edelman is concerned, I don't disagree with the call, because if you start thinking along the lines of, you know, stop doing what you do, well, that would be, you know, going to another point, which is McCourty playing the best football he's been playing in the last couple of weeks with the addition of Aqib Talib. He doesn't get that pick he doesn't force that fumble. Mm-hmm. If you take him out of the game on special teams, you know, so you got to let the players play.
Yeah, and look, it's a good point, Bill, and thanks for the phone call. On McCourty, I mean, it's a good counterpoint to Gronkowski, right? And we had other callers bring it up before. Malloy's played special teams. You know, Belichick ticked through a bunch of them last week. The offensive line plays on, you know, the field goal and extra point unit. I get it. You know, McCourty to me is a little different than Gronkowski. Yeah, he just is. You know, I just think Gronkowski's more important to the team than McCourty is. And again, the Edelman thing to me is just even separate from that. You know, you don't have to be running gadget plays. You don't have to be running reverses in an almost 5-touchdown game. I will say, and the caller just sort of hit at this, do you have to start looking at the addition of Aqib Talib as, like, the reason this Patriots defense all of a sudden turned into this playmaking unit? When I say playmaking, they've been forcing turnovers all season. But is the addition of Aqib Talib, and I'm skeptical about it, but I will allow for it. 59 points last week. They had points on special teams, points on defense, and they did the same thing again tonight. You know, do we sort of look at that addition and maybe the Patriots looked at it as, okay, well, the front office and Bill are totally behind us and they're making moves to help improve things back there, and that brought the swagger. Does Talib bring swagger there? Does moving McCourty to safety, was that really the cure-all and the magic elixir this defense needed? Maybe Talib is better than I was giving him credit for last week. I'll at least start looking at it. It's 2 weeks in a row where your defense has made game-turning plays along with your special teams, and it's coincided with the addition of Aqib Talib. Like I said, I'm skeptical about it, but I'm willing to look at it. As the Patriots blow out the Jets 49-19, they improve to 8-3, and you got to wonder, that was the death knell for the Mike Tannenbaum, Rex Ryan, Mark Sanchez triumvirate there in New York. I'd be stunned if Tannenbaum is back. I guess we got to see how the rest of the season plays out with those other two, but Tannenbaum ain't coming back after this. The Jets are just about assured of another losing season. They drop one more game, they'll be at 500, best-case scenario going forward. That's going to be tough to bounce back from when you were in back-to-back AFC championship games and you wanted to brag about that. Now you go to back-to-back 500 seasons and on the outside of the playoffs looking in, and it could be worse than that for the New York Jets. Adam Jones with you here on the Sun Life Patriots post-game show, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. I see you guys hanging out on the phones, 508-298-0398. We'll get to your emails as well, webradio@patriots.com. We appreciate you guys dialing us up here, taking time out of a busy Thanksgiving to tune in to our little post-game show. We'll get to your calls and your feedback, and you'll also hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick from the podium coming up next here on Patriots.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Have a hot take on today's game? Hit up Adam on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's your host, Adam Jones.
Sunlight Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live. Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Patriots winning a laugher over the Jets, 49-19. And I say laugher because it's legitimately what it was. That second quarter when the Patriots racked up 35 points, and specifically when they had those three straight touchdowns. You get the Sean Green fumble, which sets up Vereen's 83-yard touchdown. We just talked to Patriots running back Shane Vereen a few moments ago, by the way. Here on Patriots.com. Few plays after the ensuing kickoff, Mark Sanchez fumbles it by running into the backside of his offensive lineman. It is then returned by Steve Gregory for a touchdown from 32 yards out on the ensuing kickoff. Devin McCourty knocks Joe McKnight into next week. Julian Edelman returns it for 22 yards for a score, and the Patriots were running away from there. They improved to 8-3. They are obviously in the mix at the top of the AFC. They certainly look like they'll be right there for a bye week, especially when you compare what the Patriots have left in terms of their remaining schedule. Patriots go to Miami in about 10 days. Then they're home against Houston and San Francisco, which is the tough task. Then at the Jaguars, home against the Dolphins. That's how you finish out. And I cannot imagine the Patriots even dropping two of those games the way they're playing. I could see one, and I'm not sure which, but I could see one. The Texans, with their win today over the Lions, they're going to be tough to catch. Though if you beat them head-to-head, you're obviously a game back. and you just need the Texans to slip up somewhere with the Titans, Colts, Vikings, and Colts. I don't know. I don't necessarily see that happening, but the way the Texans are playing, who knows? Then you look at what the Ravens have left, and they have yet to play this week. They have two losses and obviously have the tiebreaker with you because they beat you head-to-head in Baltimore, so they need to drop a couple. But they go to San Diego, home against the Steelers, at Washington, home against the Broncos, home against the Giants, at the Bengals. That's not an easy remaining schedule for the Baltimore Ravens. Also lurking there are the Denver Broncos, who you have the head-to-head tiebreaker with, though you're tied right now. Or I guess the Patriots are a game up 8-3 to Denver's 7-3. As long as you don't slip up, Broncos can't do anything to pass you. So it's a quick overview of the AFC. So we've been asking, how do today's events, the Patriots blowout win, the Texans hanging on, how do they impact the Patriots seeding? And that's what we'll get into, along with specifics from the Patriots 49-19 win over the New York Jets. You can get in touch, 508-298-0398, or email us, webradio at patriots.com. We'll get to Patriots head coach Bill Belichick coming up here in about 5 minutes, but wanted to work our way through some of these very patient phone calls on a Thanksgiving. And we'll kick things off with Chester. What'd you think of that game today, Chester?
Hey, Pac-Man, I'm feeling good about it. Good to be in, by the way. I'll keep this quick because I know we're running up on the clock with Coach. I want to say, first of all, to your comment about the defense, you know, I've been plugging this on PFW a little bit, but, you know, I've been saying there's a huge change of culture brewing with that secondary. You know, and if there are anybody like you and I, if there's somebody at the interview table, everyone's going to put their A game on that next day, and that's what we're seeing. And you're seeing it with guys with, like, Gregory, and I'm surprised we're not seeing it with guys with, like, Junk. And if he doesn't get off the pot, I don't think we're re-signing him the next year. But, you know, that's a conversation for much later. The young and springy fresh legs of Shane Vereen do come through for us, by the way. I remarked about that about in the pregame today.
Oh, that was you. I remember that. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, and, you know, just great to see a change of pace there, knowing that Bolden's going to be coming back in a few weeks. Again, our monster grows another head today, and feeling good about those Jets going down. You know, my long-term goal here is I want to see us get better every single week. I think we saw that today. We got to poise ourselves for these playoffs. I think we all know that that's somewhat of a foregone conclusion, barring that we stay healthy here. So we got to get better each week. And, again, we're seeing a paradigm shift with that defense. I think, Aqib, the way he plays, whether or not he does it himself, I think he's influenced everybody else that we're seeing there tonight. So happy Thanksgiving, Pats Nation, and a great win.
All right, Chester, happy Thanksgiving to you too as well. And I do remember his call now from the pregame show. I actually complimented it for like 5 minutes because he gets in, he gets out. I do remember that now. So my apologies for forgetting about that during pregame. I said I'd allow for it. Like, do I think all of a sudden that the Patriots' defense is markedly different? I don't. I still need to see more. But 2 weeks in a row, 59 points and 49 points on offense, 108 combined. And when I say on offense, you know, a lot of that's been the defense and the special teams, not just in purely scoring, but field position and things of that nature. Maybe the addition of Tlaib was the thing that the defense needed. And I'll tell you what, another guy I've been critical of, and he played excellent tonight, and I put him on my good list, and I've said I don't know how many times I would bench him. And I would have before tonight's game, and I'd still think about it, even with the way he played tonight, just on balance the way he's played overall. But Gregory is a guy that I wasn't very high on, and I said when they're healthy and Chung was tonight, I would go McCourty and Chung at safety. I'd go Dennard and Tlaib at corner. I've been telling you that for 3 or 4 weeks since they got Tlaib. And I still wonder if they wanted to give Chung a week to ease back in. My sense is the way Gregory played tonight, they ain't benching him. That would be my guess. But, you know, if he has a Kyle Arrington moment like last week where he slips up early, then you can go to Chung and he might be able to replace him. We saw Dennard stick at corner this week.
Chung did not look very good tonight, though.
He didn't.
I know he's got to be a little rusty, but he looked pretty bad.
I think some of that, too, is he really a sub-package guy? Like, that's what they were playing him as. They were playing him almost as like a nickel corner, right? And like in the slot. Like, I think that's a weird thing to ask him to do. And I honestly thought that's why they signed Gregory. When they signed him, I didn't think he was going to be their starting safety. I thought he was a sub-package guy. That's why I thought they signed him. Clearly they thought more of him, and they've played him as such, played him accordingly. But no, you're right, LePan. Chung didn't look great tonight. I wonder if some of that's just the first week back. But look, I haven't cut other people's slack, so I shouldn't cut Pat Chung's slack either. I like him. I would keep him starting. And I do think he's better than Gregory, but Gregory played a monster game tonight, and he deserves to start next week. I will say that. I don't think he's locked up a spot for the rest of the season.
I would continue to evaluate it, but for next week, I would start Gregory. I definitely would. Continuing with the phone calls, Vinny is in Michigan. What'd you think of today's events, Vinny, between that Houston game, them hanging on in overtime, and then the Patriots win here tonight?
Hey, how are you doing? Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, I'm from Detroit. I watched the game. I had tickets. I sold them because I've been down on the Lions. Patriots, my number one team. Lions, my NFC wildcard team. But they've been Houston's got. They must have a horseshoe up there. You know what? Because the last 2 weeks they played garbage. And I mean, the refs. If you watch today's game, the refs totally bailed Houston out, and that was ridiculous.
Well, I haven't really done this spiel yet, and I'll let you continue, Vinny. But it was a bad call by the refs, no doubt about it. Jim Schwartz, you got to know the rules. You have to know the rules. And the same thing happened last week with the Atlanta Falcons, and it didn't come back to bite them. But, like, if anything, the play should have been under the microscope, or the rule, rather, should have been under the microscope. Jim Schwartz should know the rules. And guess what? If he did, then the Patriots would be sitting there a game back of the Texans with a game in December looming head-to-head against them. And that could be what decides home field advantage in the AFC. So that's significant, especially because Jim Schwartz is a Belichick guy. But continue, Vinny. I didn't mean to jump in.
That's a good point. I don't know. I'm just not really scared of anyone in the AFC right now. Just the way the Patriots are playing and compared to everybody else. Like the Broncos, they really don't have a quality win. They lost to the three good teams they played. The Texans, okay. Their defense, now, I can't remember their middle linebacker that got hurt on that cheap shot, but ever since they lost them, their defense hasn't been playing well. The Ravens don't scare me. Their defense is, the Flacco's been playing terrible. I mean, nobody really scares me, and I'll let you say who the biggest threat you think is, but even having to go to Houston or something, I mean, they must be the biggest threat, but I just don't see where right now any of these other teams that are really playing, you know, I mean, Denver's on a roll, but who are they playing, the Chargers? I mean,
yeah, I mean, that's sort of how I look at it. And, Vinny, I appreciate the phone call. Happy Thanksgiving, man. I agree. The AFC is there for the taking. Now, I want home field advantage. I would want the top seed in the AFC. I would want the bye week. I would want these things from the Patriots. But I think they can go into M&T Bank Stadium and beat the Ravens. I know they didn't earlier this year, but that game was close. And, you know, it was a questionable call at that at the end of the game with the field goal going over the top of the upright. I think they could go in there. You know, I think you can go into Houston and win there, Reliance Stadium or whatever it's called. I think you can go in there. I think you can go into Denver and beat them. You've already beaten them at home. So I don't think there's any team in the AFC the Patriots can't beat. I agree with that. Now, look, I don't think just because the Patriots have home field advantage, they won't lose either. You know, like, I don't know. I thought Denver played you pretty tough here. So that's a long way of saying I think the Patriots are in that group. I don't think they're above it. But, yeah, they could beat any of those teams, just like they can be beat by any of those teams. But they put themselves in the mix. And with a little better coaching today from Jim Schwartz, they'd be in the driver's seat, to be honest. Let's go to Ricky in Mobile, Alabama. What'd you think of that game today, Ricky?
It was all right. What game are you talking about?
The Patriots game specifically, but feel free to go on the whole events. Everybody's been sitting around watching TV all day, enjoying the turkey.
The Texas game, I feel like I ain't worried about them no more. We could beat them. If the Lions had the offense like the Patriots had, the Texans can't do nothing against no spread offense. They not good enough for that spread offense. And I know for a fact now we could beat them. But the Jets, I'm so happy about that. They so sorry. Tom Brady is too much for them, and our defense is much better with a season lead because everybody feel like their job is online, and they trying to play that hard. Like, they should have been playing like that since day one. Ain't no excuse for that. And now, Rex Ryan can get fired. If he do, the Patriots need to look at him for our defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and Ricky, I appreciate the phone call, and have a happy Thanksgiving, man, and dial on us up here. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. On the Texans, I wouldn't say I'm not afraid of them anymore. They're going through a down period. I'm sure a lot of people around the NFL were saying, yeah, I'm not afraid of the Patriots anymore when they fall to the Cardinals and the Ravens week 2 and 3, or after they fall to the Seahawks in Seattle. I'm sure a lot of people were saying similar things. So on balance, Texans are pretty good. They're 10-1, but they're much more beatable, or at least they look more vulnerable than I thought a few weeks ago. I would certainly agree with that. We'll continue with your feedback. I do want to get to a lot of the emails. I feel like we haven't worked our way through a lot of those yet, so I promise we'll get to those. You'll also hear from the Patriots quarterback, Tom Brady, coming up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. But right now, let's head to the podium and hear from their head coach, Bill Belichick.
Really deserve a lot of credit on this one for turning it around so quickly. You know, coming off last week's game, and then you know, the preparation that we had this week was just really thought outstanding by the players. They were very attentive in the meetings, our walkthroughs, our films, even the walkthrough we had this morning. I mean, those are some of the best sessions we had all year, and time was really short. They really put a lot into it. I don't think it showed up out there today. So it was an awesome job by the players. Once again, we got contributions from everybody. Another touchdown on special teams, and turned the ball over on defense, and converted them on offense. And of course, Shane got us started there with a big play early in the game. So, you know, overall, it was a good team effort. Proud of the team, proud of the way they responded this week after the Indianapolis game. Like I said, it was a short week. It was a tough week, but they really dug down and brought their best in terms of concentration and effort in the classroom, the walkthroughs and all that. And those results were evident on the field today. So we'll take a little break here and get on to Miami.
Concerned about Edelman's injury at all?
We'll see.
Talk about Steve Gregory, two fumble recoveries and interception. That's pretty opportunistic.
Yeah, I thought he made a real good play on the interception. He was read the quarterback well, came over there and undercut the route. And of course, the fumble was just you know, good scoop and score play. But you know, Steve's a heady player. He's a smart player. Prepares well. And is very instinctive and anticipates well. So, you know, he's made a lot of those plays for us this year.
So was he playing a robber role on the interception, or was that a design kind of trap?
Injury
timeout. Well, he's, you know, like any good player, he's aware of the routes and reads the quarterback and was able to anticipate the play.
You ever seen a streak where you had three touchdowns in 52 seconds like that, and just see the game turn around as quick as it did like that from being a close game to being a blowout?
Well, unfortunately, I was on the other end of that at the Pro Bowl a couple of years ago, when it was 42-0 in the middle of the second quarter on the same kind of plays, you know, touchdowns, interception returns, fumble returns, and all that. So, look, it doesn't take a lot to score a lot of points in this league quickly, turnovers and you know, defensive returns or special teams returns. It can add up in a hurry. And both ways, getting ahead or also coming back, so. Nothing surprises me in the NFL. That's why it's a great game.
Happy about the way your team has played the last 2 weeks? It seems like you're putting it to another notch as you hit the middle of November to December.
You know, each game's its own challenge. I thought we played well today, and more importantly, prepared well. Had a real good week of preparation on a short week, and then performed very competitively today. I thought we had good energy, and you know, made a lot of big plays, obviously. And that was, you know, it was key. Good to see us, you know, do those long play in a passing game, hit Edelman, you know, big play in a return game. You know, it was always good to score on special teams. That's two touchdowns against the Jets in a kicking game this year, so that's, you know, it's winning football.
The way you guys responded, does that speak to the toughness of the football team?
Well, I thought they had a good week. I mean, we'll see about next week. You know, next week will be another challenge against Miami, but they did it this week.
Bill, Vince is always a key player for you. It seems like the past 2 weeks, getting the pressure on the interception. This week, the third down and fourth down play, he was taking up double teams, allowed Mayo to get in there, and then the fumble that Sanchez had, he was right there. Can you just talk about his performance?
You know, Vince's been a solid player for us all year, again, both in the running game and in the passing game. Very unselfish. You know, we play him in different positions, usually where we feel like he can, is maybe the most needed. Not necessarily, you know, where it's going to feature him or give him a great opportunity to make plays, but a lot of times it is to, you know, eat up blockers or you know, try to disrupt plays. And you know, he's an explosive guy that's got very good football instincts. He knows where the ball is. He knows what they're trying to do. And you know, he really responded to a lot of the different challenges or positions that we put him in. And like I said, it's done very unselfishly and very productively. He's given us great leadership, too, all year. He's given us great leadership. He and Gerard and Devin on defense have really, you know, those three guys have really, they've been outstanding.
Vollmer being inactive, is it looking like a long-term thing? Is this more of a precautionary thing? Getting him?
We'll see. You know, he wasn't able to play today, so we'll see how that goes going forward. Just have to take it day by day.
Coach, it's your 200th win. I know you're not big into stats and marks and records and all that, but reflecting back, it's a lot of wins.
Well, it's been a privilege and a great opportunity to coach the players that won those games. You know, I didn't make a block, didn't make a tackle, didn't throw a pass, didn't kick a ball. You know, the players win them. But it's an honor to coach the group of players that really go out there and make the plays to win those games. And that's the way it was today. Players went out there and they made the plays and they deserved to win. And it's a privilege to coach this team, you know, for Mr. Kraft, the Kraft family, Patriots organization, and the players that are on it. So it's nice, but it's really, I think, more of a reflection of what the players have done. They win them.
Congratulations.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Steve. Thank you.
Pretty standard Bill Belichick answer when it comes to asking about his personal accomplishments, you know, Super Bowl wins overall, passing another coach on the all-time wins list. Yeah, I didn't make a block. I didn't make a tackle. Didn't score any touchdowns. Credit to the players. I've heard Bill Belichick say that before. Just because we've heard it and just because it's a standard answer, you know, doesn't mean I don't respect that. You know, I like when Bill Belichick gives that answer. I think players like to hear that, whether they admit it or not. I do think that's why most players in this league, not everyone, but most players in this league want to play for Bill Belichick. He ultimately gives the credit back to the players, puts it at their feet. And I thought that was somewhat representative. Look, in terms of Belichick giving you anything on injuries, I wasn't expecting much. I did expect a little bit more on, you know, why you're running that play with Edelman at the end of the game. You know, I expected more of why is Brady in there with 4 minutes left, but whatever. Maybe these guys,
it is what it is.
Maybe these guys are tired. These guys being the beat writers are tired of banging their head against the wall for the last week. They've basically been doing the same story with Gronkowski. I think this is a continuation of that. And the Brady thing again, and this is all I'm saying about it. If they can't stop you, go ahead. You can run it up if you want. You just have to be prepared to deal with the consequences. And that's,
what are you looking for?
That's sort of how I feel about the Edelman thing. And that's certainly how I'd feel if Brady gets hurt at the end of one of those things, even if it's a dirty, cheap play by the Jets or whomever. You have to be ready to deal with the consequences. That's sort of how I feel about it. And, you know, I hope it doesn't come to that. And look, they've been relatively lucky with Brady and blowouts, and Belichick is consistent with it. And this is something I touched on last week during the postgame show. He's consistent with it. So you can hate it all you want. He is at least consistent with it. That said, it doesn't mean it might not come back to bite him at some point or won't come back to bite them at some point. And if it does, even if it's on a cheap, dirty play, you put yourself in that position. And that's sort of how I feel about the Edelman thing. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's how you get in touch with the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you here live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on patriots.com. Patriots blow out the Jets 49-19. They improved to 8-3. You just heard from the Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. We'll head right back to the podium and hear from the quarterback Tom Brady next here on patriots.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with Bill Pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Welcome back to the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Final hour of the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you, live, Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here on Patriots.com, it's still technically Thanksgiving. It's not. We've moved past midnight on the East Coast. So
I guess it's Black Friday.
No longer call it Thanksgiving anymore, LePan.
All the shots of people lining up at stores that open in 4.5 hours already.
I can already tell you, I'm being sucked into some Black Friday shopping tomorrow. Which
don't do it. Stay strong.
It already sounds miserable. No, I'm already into it. I can't get out of it.
So some mom who drives around like an Escalade is going to kick you in the face.
I'm already sucked into it. But at least I'm not to the point where I'm going out on midnight and going to get this garbage. Because that just seems miserable. I'm sure you get a great deal, but just seems miserable. So anyway, you're right. Black Friday now. We're not even Thanksgiving
anymore. This weird thing called online shopping where you can get the same deals.
That's a great point. It's a great point. Maybe I should do that. But anyway, Black Friday now on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. You can weigh in, 508 298-0398 or email us webradio@patriots.com. We do want to head back to the podium and hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady momentarily. But LePan, you had a comment to me a little while ago that you had a thought on Dennard.
Well, it's on Dennard and Tlaib being your starting cornerbacks now.
Okay.
I think you're seeing that philosophy change of more aggression in that defensive backfield, and that's also kind of carrying over into the entire defense, because before it was like the front seven was going as hard as they could. They were being aggressive, and it was...
They'd turn around, and Kyle Arrington's giving up another big play.
Exactly, they'd turn around, and...
Devin McCourty's dropping an interception.
And it'd be, you know, a simple... you know, flag and post, and oh boy, touchdown, we just lost the game. And now they turn around and they see guys making plays, making big hits, and I think you're seeing more aggression from the entire defense just because of those two guys being inserted.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And like I said, maybe it is more than just Tlaib. I'm just willing to allow for it. Like, do I believe that Aqib Tlaib all of a sudden has been the magic elixir and the cure-all in the Patriots secondary? Well, I've said, no, I don't. But at the same time, they're two most convincing wins, or two of their most convincing wins. They're pretty convincing in the second half up in Buffalo earlier this year. Two of their most convincing wins. And I don't know, it just happens to coincide with adding this guy. So maybe it is that. Maybe it's... they already had Dennard in there, which seems like a nice move for the secondary. I've been consistent in that one all along. Even when he's had bad games, I want him to start. I wasn't one of these people saying it should be Tlaib and McCourty at corner. Or certainly Tlaib and Arrington. And you know who was one of those people? Bill Belichick. I was not one of those. I wanted to see Dennard over Arrington. And I think that one got proved in one series last week against the Colts. So maybe that combination of those two. Maybe you're onto something, LePan. They're more physical. They're holding guys up. Guys being receivers at the line of scrimmage, and maybe that gives your front seven that extra breath, that extra hair to rush the quarterback. You know, maybe it's some of that. So I'm at least willing to allow for it and look at it. And I'll tell you what, if they keep doing it, and especially if they do it against a team like the Texans or the Niners, I'm going to look at it even harder. So, yeah, I'm willing to at least allow for it and look at it. I don't think you can definitively say one way or the other, but maybe it is a new attitude, a new swagger that the Patriots have in that secondary. I hope that's what it is. You know, I hope now that big play attitude, or maybe they're more physical or whatever you want to call it, I hope to God that's what it is. But I do think we need to see a little bit more of it, because particularly last week, I thought some of it was more the mistake of Andrew Luck. This week, you hit those guys in the mouth a little bit. And the Jets certainly had their miscues too. The Sanchez fumble was a laugh track, right? And the Sean Green one before it was about as bad as you're going to see. But Devin McCourty popping Joe McKnight, it's a big hit. And, you know, I thought Steve Gregory's interception was legit as well. So I thought they also made some plays in this one, whereas Andrew Luck sort of gave him a few things last week with some questionable throws. I thought they went out and got him this week. And maybe that's carrying over from the 59 points he scored against Indy, and you got some scores on special teams and some scores on defense, and you got more of it tonight. And I don't see how that can hurt from a quote-unquote swagger standpoint, or that attitude, which is the word that I like better, for the Patriots defense and for their secondary. I don't see how it can hurt. Let's go back to the phones. 508-298-0398. Jake is in Pittsburgh. What'd you think of that win tonight, Jake?
Hey, Adam. How's it going? Happy Thanksgiving.
Appreciate it, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Or happy Black Friday at this point, I guess.
Well, right, but, all right. Black Friday, yeah. Go out and get some deals, Jake.
Yeah. But, you know, I great win. But, you know, I'm really calling in. I just wanted to call to talk about Tom Brady, actually. I mean, I know it's kind of trivial, and we all know it in the back of our minds. But, I mean, once again, I mean, three touchdowns a day, 300 yards. I mean, it's just every week, year after year, week after week. I mean, he just continues to put up all these great numbers. And like I said, I know it's trivial. I know you don't put him on the good list, because I know he's always on the good list. But, I mean, I just don't want to take it for granted. I mean, it's not going to be around forever. And, I mean,
it's
just
a fair...
after another perfect performance tonight, I mean, I know the defense was huge and is on everybody's mind and is on my mind, because they have been playing great, especially with Tlaib, as we've been talking about. But, I mean, I just don't want to take this for granted. Brady's just playing great still. Once again, 24 touchdowns, three interceptions. It's just, it's perfection every year.
And look, I do he obviously played great. And I felt weird, Jake, and thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. This is the second straight week, by the way. I've done this with Brady. He's played excellent. At least his numbers have looked excellent at the end, and he hasn't been on my good list. And I try to make that list, and I don't always succeed in it. Some weeks I screw it up. Probably most weeks, in everyone's view, I screw it up. But I try to keep it as representative of why the Patriots won as is humanly possible. And, you know, I guess I could have done it differently. I just thought that second quarter, the way they played, was sort of a catch-all to hit on everything. And then after that, I thought the best players were Gregory and Vereen. Brady's numbers were astronomically good. 18 to 28, 323, three touchdowns, no picks. He also ran for another score. The Patriots on third down were 11 of 15. I know they were 10 of 12 at one point. That's a reflection of the quarterback, in my view. They only had one fumble. You know, they won the turnover battle. That's also a reflection of the quarterback on some level, at least the fact that you didn't turn it over a lot. So, for me, he played great. But again, I thought on Vereen's touchdown specifically, Vereen did most of the work. Brady dumped it off into the flat. You know, all of those fumbles and the big shift in the second quarter, I don't really know that Brady had a ton to do with it. The Patriots only touched the ball five times in the first half, and they scored twice with their defense / special teams. So I just thought that was more where the game swung than Tom Brady. He was obviously great, and if anybody wanted to put him on their good list, I wouldn't quibble with it.
His numbers this year, I'm just taking a quick look.
Mm-hmm.
24 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That's pretty good.
3 picks on the whole year, huh? I guess I would have guessed that number was higher. But no.
2 of them against Seattle.
Look, we got a question last week. I think it was last week, and I don't recall if it was the pregame show or the postgame show, asking, well, why isn't Brady an MVP candidate? I think he is. You know, I just don't think that anybody's really... The NFL's not that kind of league where you're breaking down the MVP race in the middle of November. It's just not. And Brady's certainly positioned himself with the Aaron Rodgerses of the world and the Peyton Mannings of the world, where he's going to be there at the end of the year. He's going to. Now, is he going to win it? I don't know. It depends on how he plays in December. It probably depends on the Houston and San Francisco game specifically. If you put up big numbers and you run the table for the third straight year in the second half, he's going to be looked at as an MVP candidate. I just don't think the NFL works that way. It's not Major League Baseball, where at the end of every month you have your MVP. You know, at the end of April in baseball, you're already talking about who the MVP is. It's just, it's not as prestigious of an award, to be honest. I bet a lot of people couldn't come up with who the MVP was last year. You know, I think, and I'm not even sure on this, but I think it was Aaron Rodgers, but I'm not actually 100% sure on that. And it's just, it's not the same type of award as it is in Major League Baseball. And I kind of think that's a good thing, by the way, for the NFL. But it's just not the same type of thing, and the race isn't looked at the same way. But Brady will be there. He keeps putting up numbers like this. He'll be there at the end of the year. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll continue to hear from you, but right now, let's head back to the podium. Patriots earlier tonight beat the Jets 49-19 in New York. They improve to 8-3, and here's their quarterback, Tom Brady.
How you doing? That was a fun day. Fun to win. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Tom, 59 points last week, 49 points this week. How do you keep everybody in the locker room humble?
Well, you know, I think there's, you know, we got a lot of turnovers on the defense. The scoring plays on defense and on special teams were, you know, those are huge. And anytime you get one of those, we got two of them this week, or we got three of them last week. So, you know, it was a great job coming in on a short week against a team that knows us really well and putting together, you know, 4 good quarters. Who else before I go home? No one? Going once?
Third down efficiency?
Yeah, that was important. I thought we did a real good job on third down. This is a team that's very good third down defense. And, you know, they challenge in a lot of ways with their blitz schemes, but we made a lot of conversions. We made quite a few.
You're an 83-yarder to Vereen. Can you describe that play and how you hooked up with him?
Yeah, he had a wheel route, and they carried Wes and Brandon on the outside. They just carried him up the field, and there was a lot of space. And once I threw it to him, he's so fast. I mean, he can outrun those guys. So he caught it up the sideline, and it was nice seeing the back of his jersey, you know, running all the way down the field. And he opened up, and it was a great play.
Bill Belichick picked up his 200th career win. He gave all the credit to the players.
But he's done a tremendous job of coaching.
Yeah, he's... I mean, there's no coach I'd ever want to play for other than him. And he's so consistent. And, you know, as players, I think we really appreciate him. And even though he's, you know, he's tough and he's disciplined, but that's what we need. And that's what that's where our programs run. So he expects us to play at a high level every week. He has high expectations and practice every day. And, you know, I think that that's what you look for in a coach, someone that gets the best out of all the players that he coaches. And, you know, he certainly does that. I'll end on that. See you guys.
Pretty definitive from the Patriots quarterback, Tom Brady. Yeah, it's Thanksgiving / Black Friday. I don't really blame him in this case. You know, normally he gets out of there pretty quick. From the podium, it's a blowout. What do you guys want? What do you want him to say? You want him to answer Steve Burton's question? Hey, Tom, Bill Belichick is pretty good, huh? Well, yeah, Steve. Yeah, he's okay. All right, I'm going to get out on that one. I think it tells you what Brady thought of the question there. So, look, I don't really blame him in this case. Look, it was a laugher. And as Brady said, similar to how Belichick gave the players credit, Brady's given Vereen credit on that touchdown. He should. He should on the Edelman one, too. Those were largely made after the catch. You know, they're good throws, and Brady puts it on the money and hits him in stride and whatnot, but ultimately the reason they're in the end zone is because of those guys' legs. And that's sort of, it's the main reason why I left Brady off my good list tonight. You know, outside of the defense and special teams making plays as well, it's the main reason why I left him out, because I thought Vereen deserved more of the credit on the touchdown than Brady did. You know, same thing with the Edelman one. Let's go back to the phones. 508-298-0398. Vinny is in Michigan. He's got a thought on Tom Brady.
Yeah, I called earlier, but I was the one that called last week and said I was a little upset with them not giving Brady for MVP, just because I know it's early, but I've been hearing way too much Peyton Manning for MVP on these sports shows. I don't know. And I got a couple other points.
Sure.
Did you hear Chris Collinsworth, and he kept saying Vince Wilfork, I wouldn't want to be behind him on the turkey leg line. And he made like five Wilfork jokes. I'm like, man, this broadcast is going downhill.
So I didn't, but I got to be honest, Vinny. By the time the thing was a blowout, I sort of had it turned down a little bit in the studio, to be honest. So I wasn't paying. Usually I'm all over the announcers. Usually I'm paying pretty close attention, in all honesty. In this case, they were sort of cast to the wayside. So I missed that.
And then I got an ironic thing. I just picked up my Gronk Spike bobblehead. It's awesome. But it shipped to me, and his arm was broken.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. I glued it, and I called the company. They're sending me another one. I was, like, so mad. I'm like, is this a joke? Did they break this on purpose? But it's awesome. If you got something to give somebody for Christmas,
that's a great point. Don't get him with the broken arm, apparently, Vinny. And thanks for the phone call, man.
Good night.
You can go out and get those on Black Friday tomorrow. Maybe they sell the Julian Edelman ones.
That can still be a bobblehead.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of condition it's in.
Little chip in the helmet.
You can go out and get those on Black Friday as well. Look, the point on Peyton Manning, storylines, man. That's what it is. He's coming back from a year off, so... You know, if their numbers are similar, I'd probably give the nod to Peyton Manning, too, just given what he's had to overcome. But look, if Manning loses a couple of games or has another game like he did against Atlanta where he throws three picks in a quarter and Brady runs the table and keeps putting up the numbers he's putting up, he's going to be MVP. I wouldn't lose a ton of sleep over that one, personally. If Manning gets the MVP but the Patriots have the better seed, who cares? You know, who cares? I would... get it if the Patriots had never won or whatever, but they've won, and Brady's won the MVP before. So really, you know, to me, he's done everything you can want. The Patriots have done everything you can want. You just want them to win and be in the best position to go win. And I think they're going to be in a better position than Peyton Manning's Broncos. Everyone's getting on them nationally. They've won five games in a row. Their best win in that stretch is against the Saints, who are turning things around, but there's a couple in there against the Chargers. You know, and most of the best teams they played outside of Pittsburgh in week one, most of the good teams, winning teams that they've played, they haven't beaten them. They've played four teams this year with a winning record. They've lost three. And I keep hearing, well, a lot of them came early in the year and Peyton wasn't all stretched out yet and he wasn't completely healthy. Well, guess when their best win came? Against Pittsburgh, week one. That was their best win. So if he wasn't all stretched out and he wasn't ready to go, how do you beat the Steelers week one? Explain that to me. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. You heard from Patriots defensive lineman Vince Wilfork, who caller just referenced. I guess Collinsworth was killing on the broadcast.
Vince Wilfork.
You'll hear from him coming up a little later on here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. We'll also go around the AFC East, though admittedly there's not a ton to go around in the division here today, but we'll do that coming up on patriots.com. Let's get to some of these emails. Webradio at patriots.com. James writes in, Adam, stick a fork in him. Wilfork, great game, special teams, defense, and I guess you can say the offense all unloaded some frustration out on the New York suck, suck, suck. 81 was mobile. Looked very good for missing the last few games. By the way, it's a good point on Aaron Hernandez. I'll circle my way back to that. And I want to say Chung was everywhere, as Gregory was. That chop block at the three-yard stand, a lot of people think the postgame show sucks. But for me, go F yourself, losers. It's a past postgame show. Exactly what the title entails. Pac-Man, take it easy, and F the Jets. A lot of people think the postgame show sucks. Well, that's unfortunate. You know? Not what you're looking to hear. What are you going to do? What are you going to do, LePan?
Those people can go listen to whatever they want to listen
go,
to.
Go ahead.
We have our loyal listeners here. up late with us on a Black Friday.
I usually try to cut out the things about the show, good or bad. But that one slipped in. Didn't do a good job proofreading it. On the Hernandez point, he's right. Like, right from the get-go, he looked pretty good. The second drive of the game, 27-yard catch, and I wrote down next to it, elusive. Like, that's the thing that you didn't really see when he played in that game earlier against Seattle or in Seattle or the first game against the Jets. The couple of games he played since returning from that ankle injury, he didn't look like he had the same ability to make people miss. And I thought that was there on that 27-yard catch that he had. And I just thought he looked relatively healthy. He only had two catches. So it's not like he was a huge factor in the game plan, but I thought he looked healthier. You know, the fact that he wasn't utilized a lot, I guess you can second guess it, but I thought on the balls he caught, he looked closer to the old Aaron Hernandez than we saw earlier this year. And I did think that was promising. And on Chung, I tend to agree with LePan. I didn't think he stood out at all. But as his first week back, see him next week. Kevin writes into webradio at patriots.com. Adam, seeing this sign in the crowd that said X-Rex was golden. Good game all around. Big credit to our defense today. They put up a ton of points, forced fumbles, and appeared to be much better in coverage. Dennard is starting to really show up, and I'm aware that this isn't exactly Joe Montana throwing the ball, but I noticed the improvement. Monster game from Wilfork, as usual. Brady looked decent, and I'm really impressed with Edelman, and I'm hoping he's okay. On a side note, happy Thanksgiving to all you guys down in the grand old USA. Look, on a couple of things, and we've worked our way through the Edelman thing, Brady, Wilfork. I do agree on Dennard, and he has three picks, and I think it's now seven games, and I thought he had a couple of breakups in that game today as well, or at least plays where he was right there in tight coverage, and not to say that he didn't give up plays as well, but I think Dennard has looked good, and I got to tell you, I wasn't as on board with the pick when the Patriots made it, the kid out of Nebraska, because I remember when he was a projected second-round pick, and you're going through, and you're like, he wasn't really all that productive in college. And maybe it's because, and I don't sit here and pretend to watch a ton of Nebraska games. I see them every year, but I'm not exactly evaluating, you know, the quarterbacks on the team when I'm watching them. It's more for, you know, my own entertainment. So I don't know how much they threw at Dennard when he was at Nebraska. But I don't know. I didn't think he was overly productive, and I never really got why he should have been a second-round pick in the first place. I understand that's where he was projected to go, but looking purely at production, I didn't really get it. He's been a pleasant surprise. And look, I've said this about just about every rookie corner they've had in here for the last couple of years. You know, I thought Darius Butler looked good as a rookie, so tells you all you need to know about me and my evaluation skills. But I've been down this road with rookie Patriots corners before. I do think Dennard's a little stouter than some of those guys. I think he's a little more physical. And I like that. And maybe the combination of he and Tlaib is a big reason why we've seen this turnaround the last couple of weeks. When I say turnaround, the explosive plays on defense, the scoring plays on defense. We didn't see a lot of that.
One thing that encourages me about him, too, is that you saw him get beat on a play when, I believe it was Shillens went inside.
Oh, and he came back and stripped it out.
Came back
and right.
Punches the ball out.
Totally forgot about it.
He's a scrapper.
Totally forgot about it. And you're right. He was beat on the play, but he was able to recover. You know, and we gave Devin McCourty all kinds of credit for that in the Bills game where he stripped who was it, Fred Jackson, going into the end zone. Yeah, that's a good hustle play, and that's sticking with the play. I've liked what I've seen out of Denver. Dennard hasn't been perfect, but I like what we've seen. Maurice in Alabama writes in, looked like a totally different secondary. Shout out to Gregory. He had a monster game. Yeah. Look, and I've been a Steve Gregory basher, I want to say since week four-ish. Like, whatever the Bills game was is when I really started to be a Gregory basher, right? Like, I thought he was bad in that game, missed the tackle, late getting over. Maybe it was even the Baltimore game. But week three, week four, something like that, I gave him a couple of weeks to see him out there. And by the time week three or week four rolled around, I sat there and I said, I don't get it. And I'd rather see Chung and maybe even Tavon Wilson. And, you know, now that you have McCourty back there again, I'd still ultimately like to see Chung and McCourty back there. But the way Gregory played tonight, and I said this earlier in the show, the way he played tonight, he deserves to start again next week. No argument for me. Kurt writes in from Southern California. Adam, happy Thanksgiving. Hope you had a great day. All I got to say is I loved this game. Really giving it to the Jets at home on Thanksgiving. Fireman Ed didn't look too happy. And by the way, I saw a few tweets about this. I guess he left, like, at halftime. I want to pile on Fireman Ed. Like, I'm not his biggest fan. I think he's obnoxious, obviously. I don't think anyone outside of Jets fans don't think that. But I don't blame him. Like, let's say that was the Jets hanging it up on you. Not that it would ever happen. But let's say it's Thanksgiving, a family day. Right? A day where you know, you want to drink with friends and family and eat and shove food down your gullet. And I understand you pay all this money for a ticket, but let's say the shoe's on the other foot. It's in Foxborough, it's Thanksgiving night, and the Jets are handing it to you. 35-3 at halftime, and even before that, 35-0 before you for some reason settle for a field goal right before halftime, which I still haven't wrapped my head around, but whatever. So it's 35. I would have left right then and there. So, as much as I want to pile on Fireman Ed and some of those Jets fans, I don't blame them. I would have been running out of that stadium. You want to stick around for the second half? How much better did that get? Kurt continues. Good Pats play on all sides of the ball. Only bad thing I could say would be the penalties given up by the defense once we ran up the score. And good to see Vereen get one. And again, that's Kurt writing in from Southern California. The penalties were a little disconcerting. And I can't remember if it was the Colts game or the Bills game. I think it was the Bills game. I also had that on the bad list for the Patriots. Like, they've been starting to rack it up a little bit. They've been a little undisciplined. And I think it was the Colts game last week. That was the Bills game where it was Spikes and Mayo. They had these dumb plays in the fourth quarter, like dumb plays.
And that's what happened again today, twice in the end zone, red zone.
But at least in that game, it was. Or at least today, it was a blowout, right? So it's like the impact is less. I mean, you're still doing it. You're right, LePan, but pick your spots. You know, do it when the game's not, you know, on the line like it was against Buffalo. So I'm starting to track that a little bit in that I've noticed it. Like, it keeps coming up, the penalties, and specifically stupid ones and ones that have cost them. Like the Ridley one in the end zone today. I know it wasn't at a very important point in the game. Like, it was already a blowout. But that's one where, like, you got to know what you're doing. You can't just chop a guy down in the end zone. Not that you want to get Brady killed, but those are points for the other team. And I do think penalties have been bubbling up a little bit for this team. They haven't been a significant issue, but I'd like to see them correct those things going into the postseason, especially at this time of the year. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio. @patriots.com. It's how you get in touch with the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on patriots.com. Patriots blow out the Jets 49-19. They improve to 8-3. You've heard from the coach. You've heard from the quarterback. We'll hear from Vince Wilfork coming up next here on patriots.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Hadn't really caught this in some of the post-game tweets and the post-game coverage. You see Rex Ryan standing by Mark Sanchez despite, quote, the nightmare of a game. Also, Tim Tebow, broken ribs, but remained active for some reason in that game tonight. He's the only person on either side who was on the active roster and didn't play. Apparently, he had broken ribs before the game.
And they ran the Tebow play with Sanchez on the goal line on third down.
Yeah, Ryan is he's sticking with Sanchez, I can tell you that. He stuck with him in the second half of the game. And I guess he's not going to Greg McElroy either. But I hadn't caught that in some of the post-game, some of our post-game dealings that had snuck past me as the Patriots blow out the Jets 49-19 down in New York. They are now 5-0? Nope, 4-0 in the division. Still two games coming up against the Dolphins, but you've swept the Bills, you've swept the Jets. We'll go around the AFC East. Coming up here in about 10 minutes on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. You can get in touch 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio at Patriots.com. Sifting our way through some of these emails, and this is in response to some of the Edelman stuff I was going through earlier. And there's a run of these. Ryan writes in, subject line, since when is a simple reverse a quote-unquote gadget play? It's a play the Patriots run all the time with their wide receivers. You keep playing hard with 20 minutes to go, you know. Well, yes, you keep playing hard, fine. And you can keep running. I mean, I'm not telling people to take a knee in the third quarter. I don't think that's what the Patriots should do. But you don't need to run reverses. Like, you understand the difference was 35-3 game. You don't need to be running reverses out there. If I'm the Jets, I look at the other side, or I look across the line of scrimmage, rather, and I say, are they serious with this garbage? We're going to pop them. We're going to knock their blocks off. Like, that's what I would think. I don't know if that makes me a bad person or not, but that's what I would think. You guys want to run gadget plays and wide receiver reverses? Then we're going to knock your block off. That's what they did to Edelman. So
that's why I don't read the newspaper.
Like, you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. If you're Belichick, McDaniel, you can run whatever play you want. You want to run flea flickers? Want to run the hook and lateral? You want to run the Statue of Liberty play? Have at it. But guess what? All it's going to do is tick off the other team. And all they're going to do is unload on your guys. And I think that's what we saw tonight. So just be prepared to deal with it. Be prepared to deal with them headhunting your players. Okay? Be prepared to deal with players getting hurt and then dealing with the outrage and the outcry from it. That's all. That's all. That's how I felt about the Edelman thing earlier. And I understand a lot of Patriots fans don't like it because I'm condoning a head injury or whatever it is. It's not what I'm doing. If that was a play where Edelman was defenseless and Laron Landry's just headhunting him, well, that's one thing. Or if Ridley or Vereen are running off tackle on a normal football play, fine. I don't know, a reverse. In that case, to me, especially after microphones on NFL films last week caught Josh McDaniels saying, oh, well, Julian, you know, no one's ever caught a touchdown pass and run for another score and also had a special teams touchdown. It's never happened. And they tried to get him one last week, and now that's what they're trying to do again this week. That's what it looks like to me. So the Patriots made that bed. They got a lie in it. That's all.
That's all I have to say about that.
Continuing with the emails to webradio at patriots.com, our buddy Keith writes in. He usually is cross with me about one thing or another, so he writes in, subject line, I guess I'll take the bait. Adam, you're so off with your analysis of the Julian Edelman injury, it doesn't even warrant a response. Here's a question for you. When are Andy and Paul joining you for the postgame show? Because someone needs to put you in your place. And again, that's Keith writing in Dallas, Texas. I don't know. Maybe we'll touch on this during the pregame show next week. I have a feeling our views are a little more closely aligned, but I could be wrong. We'll talk on the pregame show next week, and that's what we'll do leading up to the Dolphins game. If that makes you happy, Keith, we'll talk on the pregame show, okay? And you can call in whenever, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio, at patriots.com. One more of these. Nick writes in, Adam, you're talking nonsense. That's the subject line. Bit of a theme going on in this stretch of our emails. Instead of blaming McDaniels or Edelman for the injury, how about pointing the finger at Landry for a helmet-to-helmet hit? Basically, your argument seems to be that we should not be, or that we should rather play boring once we have a good lead. Don't you remember the Colts game where they came back from 4 touchdowns down? Come on, Adam, that's really rubbish. Happy Thanksgiving, by the way, from England, Nick. I do remember the Colts game only because that's the one that Belichick decided to use in his talking points after the game last week. So, yeah, I do remember it. But
could also blame Edelman for putting his head down and running into the play.
There was no flag on the play. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to get fined. Now, who knows? Maybe he'll get fined and the league will take it back like they did with the Ed Reed thing, right? Or the suspension and take it back. I don't know. But I didn't think the hit was overly dirty. Like, yes, it was helmet to helmet, but how much of that was avoidable? And when I say avoidable, not just for Landry, but the Patriots putting their player in that spot, like, don't call a wide receiver reverse, and maybe you won't get laid out. And maybe if you believe Laron Landry was headhunting, maybe he wouldn't be doing it because you weren't trying to show them up or run up the score or whatever it is. Let's continue with the phone calls. 508-298-0398. Seth's in Vermont. What'd you think about that game tonight, Seth?
Well, it was a fun game to watch. But I think you're entirely wrong on Edelman because it doesn't matter what play he's in. He leads with his head, and he goes full force every time.
On Landry, you're saying?
On
Edelman going into to the defensive player.
Well, any contact of any kind, Edelman just goes straight upfield. So it doesn't matter if it was a reverse or a screen play. Like, he was going to get lit up at any given point.
It
could be called. I'm sorry.
I guess that's on Edelman, right? For people who have an issue, and I'm not saying it's necessarily you, Seth, but for people who have an issue with my stance on the play call, well, then I guess that's independent of the play call. You know, then Edelman's just going to get lit up, and that's on the player. You know, it's not on the play call in that scenario.
And I enjoy watching. He's electric to watch.
You know what? I've been down on him at times, Seth, but the last 2 weeks he has been undeniably explosive. Like, there's no other way of putting it. You're right.
Well, and much like Welker, who puts himself out there to get hit real hard, Edelman will go for that extra 2.5 yards. And it's inevitable that guys are going to get lit up. So I don't think it's on play calling, and I don't think it's just football.
Yeah, and look, that part of it I get. And, Seth, thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. I get what he's saying. It took me a second to warm up or figure out what he was saying. You know, I still think the play call has something to do with it, but maybe not. You know, maybe it's not Landry lining the guy up. Maybe it's the way Edelman runs with the football. You know, maybe it's the way that he takes on contact or lowers his head or whatever it is, and he puts himself in that position. I guess that could be it. To me, I think there was a little more oomph there from Landry because you're showing them up at the end of the game. And like I said, you can do that all you want, but there are consequences. I think the Patriots are dealing with it in some regard. Continue with your feedback here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Also, want to go around the AFCs. You know what happened to the Jets tonight? They get eviscerated by the Patriots, 49-19, but we can look ahead to the rest of the weekend in the division coming up. But first, let's head back to the podium and hear from Patriots defensive lineman Vince Wilfork.
Just making sure every little thing, every detail, make sure we had it down back then. It showed tonight. Guys made a lot of plays for us, and we played together as a team, you know. And that's the most beautiful thing about this thing.
Are you realizing the impact that you're making on the turnovers that are created in this game? The impact that you yourself?
No. You know what? I care less about individually. My main goal is to win. I prepare my tail off just like my teammates, just like I expect everybody else. Prepare well. And my main goal is winning. If we win, I'm fine. I can have one tackle in the season. But if we winning and I'm contributing, I'm fine with that. And it's just to see guys make plays after plays, and I'm talking about fumble recoveries, forcing the balls out, turnover picks, I mean, the kicking game. Oh, my gosh. And then offense not turning the ball over. I'm telling you, man, this team is a tough, tough football team, mentally and physically. We're a tough football team, and we preach from day one. That's what, you know, those things we wanted to be, mentally tough, physically tough, play smart football. And I think the mental edge, we've had some tough games this year. You know, we failed, you know, lost three, but we also played in some tougher games and won them. So, you know what, this team is steady growing. And everybody can just see, you know, when we play together and play well, good things are happening. It gets fun. It starts being fun when you're up 28 points in the first quarter. I mean, that's all you can say is wow, you know. But we have a motto: play 60 minutes, you know, and we wanted to do that. No matter what the score said at halftime or first or third quarter, we wanted to be able to finish the game. We wanted to be able to go out and play 60 minutes, and I think we put it together tonight.
that Gregory scored the touchdown. Can you describe what you were doing with Brandon Moore?
I was just, you know, fighting pressure with pressure, knowing, seeing the ball went that way. And I'm just taught, you know, to fight pressure with pressure. So I just started fighting back and knocked him into Sanchez, and, you know, it created a fumble. And, you know, Gregory, a hell of a game he had. And you know what? This guy, you know, last week before we played the Colts that week, he had three interceptions in practice. So I said, I'm like, man, this man going to get... He's going to get three interceptions in the game. He's going to get three turnovers in the game. But it didn't happen in Indianapolis. So, but he came out today and made some big plays for us. But like I said, you know, everybody worked their tail off. We just worked our tails off. I mean, with a short week, short window, everybody just putting to the side, you know, Thanksgiving on hold, and come out here and accomplish this and move us to 8-3, man. That's special. It's a special Thanksgiving for all of us, and we can enjoy it now and with a win and with your families. And that's exactly what, you know, that's exactly what I'm going to do. So I'm very proud. I'm very proud of this team.
It's the drop before that 3rd-and-2 and then the 4th-and-1 with the intent of fumbling. You took on double teams there and allowed Mayo to get in behind you. I mean, what's going through your mind when those type of plays when you got two guys on?
You know what? It's just, you know, man on man, you know, and I think if I can occupy two, I know one of my backers free, and I have some great backers. I put them up against any backers in the league at what we do, and I know I expect for them to make plays. And, you know, 3rd-and-short, you know, being coming up with a stop and then going 4th-down on the goal line, coming out with a stop. Anytime you can make a stop in situations like that, that's huge, especially on the goal line. I mean, 4th-and-goal on the 1-inch yard line, and to walk away with a stop. That was big. That was big, and we saw how excited we got. So, situational football, you have to be able to perform under pressure. And you know, I'm not saying that the game was pressure, but just being in that situation, that's pressure. 4th-down, they elected to go for it instead of kicking, you know, getting points. So it was us versus them. At that point, everything is off. You know, it's like a bar fight. Everything is off. The gloves are off, and they're going to try to get this inch. We're going to try to stop them from getting the inch, and we came up with a big, big stop, and that's special. It's always special.
Patriots defensive lineman Vince Wilfork following his club's 49-19 win over the New York Jets in New York on Thanksgiving. Patriots move to 8-3. We'll tell you what that means for them in the AFC coming up here momentarily. Did want to continue to work our way through a couple of these emails and also get to a couple of phone calls here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Gabriel writes in from Colorado. Adam, the Edelman injury was unfortunate, but that's football. Edelman saw the hit and thought he was Steven Jackson. He needs to play smarter and get down. What do you expect the Pats to do when they're up by 30? Start taking a knee every position, possession rather, like in the Waterboy? Well, I already said, no, I don't expect that. I also don't expect you to run wide receiver reverses. That's all. Like, I don't know, just run with your running backs. You know, and if you want to throw on a 3rd-down, I don't think it's the end of the world, especially a 3rd-and-long. But I don't know. Go vanilla. Pretend it's a preseason game. You don't need to be running wide receiver reverses. You know, with a guy who's been so explosive for you, and, you know, put him in harm's way and just tweak your opponent in any regard. And I think that's what they're doing. And don't think Belichick didn't want to tweak the Jets. Like, we all know his history with them. He got his 200th career win tonight. Don't think that the opponent didn't factor into this. He wanted to show him up. It's national television. He wants to show him up. You know, now, I don't think he wanted to put a player in harm's way per se, but I think they got a little greedy. And they wanted to keep running it up, and they got a player hurt because of it. That's my feeling on it. By the way, one quick note before we get to the phone calls, 508-298-0398. Belichick has given the players the rest of the weekend off. So they're off until Monday. They got Friday, Saturday, Sunday to go hang out with their families. Yeah, they had to play on Thanksgiving, but they're going to get these next 3 days off. Let's go back to the phones. Thomas is in Portland, Oregon. I'm assuming it's a thought on Julian Edelman. What do you think, Thomas?
Hey, Adam. How you doing?
Doing well, man.
Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, you've been calling them reverses for like, I don't know, I've heard you say reverse like 20 times, but it wasn't even a reverse. It was just a simple end-around play. like 50s, 60s, even up through the 70s in the Dolphins. That was like a staple running play. And, I mean, if they were flipping it to wide receivers or handing it off to Ridley and then swinging it around, you can totally get something like that as a gadget play. But as simple end around, I don't think you can really consider a gadget play.
I mean,
a play-action pass, I think, is
how many times,
more of a misdirection than that.
I'm not saying that it hasn't been in the game for years and years, Thomas, but how often do you see the Patriots do it?
They did it quite often with Troy Brown back in the day, David Givens. They would do him on end arounds. All the way up, even Wes Welker earlier on when he was coming around.
Yeah, I think maybe they do it once a game. Like, I mean, we've definitely seen it. Let's say they do it once a game.
I just think it's a good creative way to get runs where you're not just throwing
Ridley
up the middle for 2 or 3
I'm
yards.
I'm not saying you never do it, but you're up 35-3. Like, what do you need yards
for? You have over 20 minutes left in the game. I mean, you gotta do something. I can see if it's 8 minutes left to go in the game, you don't want to be doing stuff like that, but you still got over a quarter to play. You got to fill out the time somewhere.
Yeah, I think that's how the Jets view it, you know, and I think who it's going against and who the opponent was is significant in this regard. And I also think the backdrop of Josh McDaniels telling Julian Edelman that it's never happened in the NFL, and this happened last week on NFL Films, you know, Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick, they're mic'd up. And he's sitting there telling Julian Edelman, "Yeah, well, no one's ever done it in a game. So now we're going back to Vinny Testaverde, drop kick, extra points. Like that's what we're doing. We're just toying with the opponent to get these players' records and get Julian Edelman a rushing touchdown. Like that's my issue with it. And I do think it's a gadget play. Like let's say the Patriots run that once a game. Let's say they've been doing that once a game for the 12 years Belichick's been here, and I think that number is" extremely high. But let's say they've been doing that once a game for the 12 years Belichick's been here. I just don't see the upshot to doing it in the blowout. What do you need? You need 20 yards on a play there?
I kind of equate this to last year when we ran Hernandez in the playoff game as a running back and he got dinged.
And it was a blowout.
Yep.
But at least it was a playoff game. And it was a blowout, but you're still running with your tight end. And to me, I had an issue with that at the time. I guess I don't remember the game situation as well. I feel like it wasn't this big of a blowout. Like, I feel like it wasn't 35-3, although I could be wrong. I mean, that game got out of hand quick. So I guess I don't specifically recall the situation, but I remember coming in here on that post-game show and saying, what was the upside with running with Hernandez there at the goal line? You know, you couldn't use Green Ellis? You couldn't use Ridley? You know, so look, that's how I feel about this thing. And I do think it's a gadget play. You know, I don't think you need to be running with a wide receiver in a 35-3 game. That's all. And if you do, then you got to deal with the consequences. And Edelman was not available in the postgame locker room, by the way. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. If you saw the hit, wasn't available to talk to the media. And I don't know if he's going to be available for the next game against Miami. You know, I don't know that. Let's go back to the phones. 508-298-0398. Mark is in Oregon, and you got a thought on Daniel Fells. What's your thought there, Mark?
Hey, Adam. Happy Thanksgiving and Friday, I guess, now.
Yeah, same to you, man.
Yeah. There's kind of stuff I don't think they touched on recently. I know in the first quarter he had a drop. It was incompletions. But then late in the third quarter, I believe it was, you know, he had a really nice, you know, catch and run there. I know, obviously, you know, these guys are pros or whatever.
The 24-yarder, yep.
Like 24, 26 yards.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just nice to see that, you know, they kind of just, that next man mentality kind of stepped in the role and did pretty well. And he also had some good blocks out there for running game, too. So it is nice to see that, well, obviously he's not going to put up Gronkowski numbers. No one expects that. But he's playing well within his game, you know, and he's contributing to the offense. I thought that was good to see.
Well, a couple of things. And, Mark, I appreciate the phone call. 508-298-0398. That's someone who's paying pretty close attention to the games, right, weighing in on Daniel Fells. LePan, you're the one, and I know Collinsworth did this as well on Sunday Night Football. You're the one who sat there on that touchdown at the end of the game, Ridley or whoever it was, where Fells just kicked out two guys on that run around the right end, and you're like, man, that's a pretty good block from Daniel Fells. So I know you were all over that, and you picked up on that earlier in the game, and I caught this from Mike Reese's little rapid reaction that he does on ESPNBoston.com, which I think are very useful. He goes through and did the breakdown for when the Patriots were in their two wide, two tight end sets with one running back. They were in at 53 of the 66 snaps. Aaron Hernandez played 57 snaps out of a possible 66, so he was out there quite a bit, and so was Fels. You know, they were a big part of those two tight end packages, which the Patriots ran 5/6 of the time. He was a big factor in that game tonight. And I'm a little surprised. I kind of thought it was going to be Schenko, was going to be the guy who was going to see more minutes, snaps rather, with Aaron Hernandez. I'm surprised because Fels was the inactive last game, but clearly they went right back to him. And he's not Gronkowski. Nobody is, right? There may be one other guy in the league who can equate to what he does as a receiver, not as a blocker, but as a receiver, Jimmy Graham. You know, other than that, I don't know if there's another young, explosive, pass-catching tight end in the NFL. You know, there are other guys who have been around, the Wittens and the Tony Gonzalez's of the world. There's not a lot of them. But can Fels replicate what he does as a blocker and maybe catch a pass here and there and run with it, as he's done a couple of different times this season? You know, the 24-yarder he had tonight, he had that one nice catch where he laid out for like 30-something yards. It escapes me who it was against, but it was like his first game back or his second game back earlier this season.
I thought that was over in London.
Was that the Rams game?
I believe.
It might have been, yeah.
And he
catch. Fels missed a bunch of the early games this year. So, but you know the catch I'm talking about. Like, we have seen some flashes from him as a pass catcher, but he ain't going to be Gronkowski. We all know that. But he blocked well tonight. And obviously, Patriots coaches used him a lot tonight. And that's for a reason. You know, they want him out there because of the blocking and because they trust him out there. And I expected it to be Schenko. But it turned out to be Fels tonight. One more email here. Webradio@patriots.com. This is Nick writing in. Adam, I think you were too hard on Talib last week, who I thought had a great game given his lack of play over the previous weeks and shortage of practice with his new teams. That being said, it's too soon to say whether he's been the catalyst who's brought about the new aggression in the secondary. I don't remember his name being called once tonight. Was that because Sanchez was avoiding him? He was in there a couple of times. Who did he get torched on? And it was on just a whiff tackle. And I'm going through my notes here. It was a Powell. I'm not sure if it was a catch or a run. I have Powell for 14 yards to leave whiff in my notes on the third drive of the game for the Jets, which is right before the game got out of hand. It was right after Welker's touchdown, right before Green's fumble. Just completely whiffed. He didn't show up in my notes a ton, though I will be the first to admit. My notes were not as meticulous in this blowout game as they have been in the past. I'm not saying we can definitively know whether he's the catalyst or not. I'm just saying I'd allow for it. Like, he's been here for two games, and the Patriots put up 108 points, and a lot of that has to do with their defense and special teams. That's all. That's all I'm saying. So should we look at that? Has he brought an attitude, a swagger, a more aggressive approach to the Patriots secondary that's rubbed off on other people? Or is it simply fitting the puzzle pieces in the right spot? McCourty now at safety. Does everyone else sort of fall into line? Maybe. One performance like that, I look at it and I say, well, it's the exception to the rule. Now we've seen two in a row. And I got to tell you, if we keep seeing them, then we may look at the addition of Talib as the point where the defense turned. And I didn't think we'd be saying that when the Patriots first traded for him. I liked the move, but I didn't think we'd be saying that. We appreciate all your feedback here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. You've been calling us all night. You've been emailing in here on a Thanksgiving, and we really do truly appreciate all of your feedback. As the Patriots blow out the Jets 49-19, they move to 8-3. The players will have the rest of the weekend off. I will talk to you on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo a week from Sunday when the Patriots are in Miami to take on a Dolphins team that, as of today, has dropped three in a row. It'll be a 1 o'clock Eastern kick a week from Sunday. And I'll also talk to you following that one on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show right here on Patriots.com.
This has been the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Next Sunday, the Patriots head to South Beach to take on the Dolphins. Kickoff from Sun Life Stadium is set for 1 p.m. Be sure to tune in to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social at 10:45 a.m., followed by the Sun Life Patriots postgame show immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.